Hello, everybody. It's Newstall 23 back in our video. I'm going to check the sound real quick. Should be on. All right. So this is just going to be a short video just talking about today, which is commonly known by some as Easter and some as Resurrection Sunday. This video, I'm just going to quickly talk about that subject. I don't really have anything prepared. So feel free to chat with me if you want. If you want to say something, discuss certain things, that's fine as well. But today, the main subject of the video is Christ's resurrection, which, of course, is the foundation of our faith. And that's what the Bible teaches. It's part of the gospel, the fact that after Jesus Christ died on the cross, he rose from the grave. It says in 1 Corinthians 15. And like I said, I don't have any preparation, so I have my Bible here on my desk. It says, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So here it talks about the gospel, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and then he rose again 3 days later. Not only did he rise again, but he was seen of first the 12 apostles, and we know the women who were at the tomb in the gospel accounts, but then 500 brethren at once. So Jesus Christ wasn't just seen by a small group of people. This was over 500 people who had seen the risen body of Jesus. And this wasn't just a spirit. This wasn't just something that they just imagined in their mind. He even appeared to them and he said, "Handle me. I have a body of flesh and bones." You know, that's in Luke 24, I believe. He said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." So Jesus had a physical body. His physical body rose from the dead, unlike some religions teach. It says, in verse 25, so 24, "But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them." So Christ, even though he was dead, now he ever liveth and he makes intercession for us. He's the only intercessor. He's the only one who can intercede for our sins. And that's what the Old Testament says when it prophesies the coming of Jesus. It says that there was no intercessor, therefore his arm brought salvation unto us. That's talking about the Lord's arm in Isaiah chapter 59, which I have been talking about, or which I did talk about in a video from the last week, about how the Old Testament prophesied the coming of Christ. And it even says in Isaiah 52 and 53, I'm going to hold my place in 1 Corinthians because I'm going to go back there. So, Corinthians 15. Almost there. Okay, so it says in Isaiah 52, concerning the servant, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were as astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." This is talking about Jesus. When he died on the cross, his visage, meaning his appearance, it was marred, meaning destroyed, more than any other man. Crucifixion is one of the most brutal form of tortures ever devised by man. It's a very painful process. And not only was he crucified, not only did he hang on that cross, but even before that, the Romans whipped him, tore flesh off his back with their the flog that they had that had little pieces of metal on the back, tore off pieces of his flesh, put him on the cross with nails through his hands and nails through his feet, a crown of thorns was shoved down through his on his scalp. It was a very painful event. He was covered in blood. He was covered with chunks of flesh that had been torn off his back, and you could see his muscles and his bones, and his blood was everywhere. It was very painful and destructive, but despite that, he says that he's exalted and extolled more than any man. So crucifixion is a very humiliating form of torture. That's why you see in the Gospels, in all accounts, you have somebody mocking them. Even the thief on the cross, before he repented, or one of them did, because there were two, before they decided to believe on, or that one who was next to him, who Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," one of them was mocking him and criticizing him beforehand at the beginning of the crucifixion. And then the Jews were saying, you're the king of the Jews, and, you know, why don't you come down? Why don't you save yourself? Or he who could save others can't save himself. So they were mocking Jesus. And then it says also in Isaiah 53, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Now in verse 10, it says that he's make his soul an offering for sin. So Jesus obviously did die on the cross. And then after that, he prolonged his days. So even though Jesus died, his days were prolonged, meaning they were lengthened. He was dead, so he didn't have any days after that. But he rose from the dead, which is what it's speaking of here when it says he shall prolong his days. So in the Old Testament, we have that prophecy of Jesus's resurrection. And then, of course, have in the book of Psalms, where I think it's Psalm 16, where it says, "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell," which is quoted from in Acts 2. Peter, when he's speaking to the Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not able that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not descended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So that's, I really like that passage where Peter is preaching. He does some great exposition on the Old Testament. He's telling the Jews that David, he talked about his soul not being left in hell. He talked about being raised from the dead, yet he himself, David, was still dead. And he talked about the fact in the Old Testament, such as in Jeremiah 23 and 33 and Ezekiel 36 or 34, 30, 37, several places where the Messiah is referred to as David. And it talks about how one will come forth unto David, a branch of righteousness will be raised up unto David, who will reign as the Messiah. So he references those scriptures and talks about how also that God promised, I think in Psalm 89, how God promised that there would be one of the seed of David who would sit on the throne of David forever. And he says, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah. That's who he's speaking of, David being the prophet. He is foretelling the future about his seed, who is Christ according to the flesh. That's what the Bible says in Romans 1:3 concerning his son Jesus Christ, whom God. You know what? I don't like quoting if I don't know the verse. But it says, which was made of the seed of David. Okay, Jesus, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So even though Jesus was the son of God, he was also the son of David because, of course, he was born of the Virgin Mary. So he had he was born into this world through Mary, who was a direct descendant from King David. So it says in Philippians 2, which we've already read scriptures on him being exalted and extolled and how important that the resurrection is in regards to that, that he was humiliated on the cross. People, a lot of people had rejected him in the Jewish nation. They thought he wasn't the Messiah, and a lot of them still do. But of course, we know on that day, after Peter speaks those words, 3,000 men were added unto them. So 3,000 people believed, they converted just from that one sermon. It says in Philippians 2, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the mm-hmm. glory of God the Father. That's another great passage that I love to read. So you can compare that with Isaiah 52 and Acts 2, where it talks about Jesus Christ being exalted after his resurrection. That the Messiah, despite being dead, despite humbling himself, God has exalted him. God has raised him up. God has given him that glory and exalted him above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, of course, the Bible also says in Acts 4 that there's salvation and neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And God revealed that through raising up Jesus. There were people in the Bible who were shown to have been raised from the dead, but they're raised from the dead by prophets of God. That's different from Jesus. Jesus rose on his own. There was nobody that came there. You know, like Elijah, he stretched out himself over the son of the widow of Zarephath. That's how he was raised from the dead. And then the other three examples, the son of the widow of Nain, the daughter of Jairus, and Lazarus, they were all raised up by Jesus Christ himself. But you find no other example of somebody raised from the dead throughout history or in the Bible. Jesus himself rose from the dead, and not only did he rise from the dead, but remember, as Hebrews 7 says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He was given a glorified body. He was raised up so that he will live forevermore. And that's what Jesus said. This is one of my favorite verses as well. I honestly like a lot of resurrection verses. This is such a powerful verse in Revelation chapter 1. It says, Jesus said in verse 17, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So Jesus, he said, I'm living right now. You see me? And that's true. Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. He's a living Savior. He lives, but he was dead. He had died on the cross, but now he's alive forevermore. So the moment that he rose from the dead on that Sunday morning, or I guess you can debate about when exactly it was. It might have even been the night before, as the Bible doesn't really give an indication that it was specifically on Sunday morning, since the Gospels talk about them coming to the tomb early before the sun had even risen, and they already found the stone rolled away. My personal opinion was that he rose the night before, right after the sun had set. Again, you can disagree with that or whatever, but the days in the Bible all start in the evening. That's why they had to take down his body before the sunset, because the Sabbath day began in the high Sabbath day, which would be the first day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. As it explains in John 19, that was beginning in the evening. And if you read Leviticus 23, you'll know that as well, and also Genesis 1, but I don't want to go into that. The point is, of course, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that not only did he rise, but he lives forevermore, and he's seated at the right hand of God right now. So 1 Corinthians 15, going back to that, we know that the resurrection of Jesus gives us the hope of the resurrection of the dead, and it's really the foundation of our faith as Christians. See, the reason why we're not Jews or why we're not in some other kind of religion is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we know that he is the Son of God. We know that he's the Christ. We know that he was sent from God. We know that he was God in the flesh because of the resurrection and because of the strong testimony and power of the resurrection. Now, Paul writes, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But there is. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ not risen, or be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So a lot of people will, when they're talking about the gospel, will not really focus too much on the resurrection. Sometimes I've heard people not even mention it at all. It's just all about the fact that he died. But it's not just about that. It's about the fact that he rose again. The gospel, as we saw earlier at the beginning of this video in 1 Corinthians 15, is not just that he died for our sins, but that he died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again. Those are all part of Jesus's gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because not only did he die for our sins, but he rose again to give us that gift of eternal life, to make intercession for us. It says that, and again in verse 22, "For in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, of course, in the context, which we just read, this is about the fact that Christ himself is alive, and we're given that hope of the resurrection. We're given that hope that Jesus has conquered death and hell. It says in the later part of the chapter, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And that's a quote from Isaiah 25. So the resurrection of Christ is the most important foundation of our faith. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Many religions believe that. There are a lot of people who believe that Jesus Christ died. You know, even some atheists will admit Jesus Christ was a historical figure and he died on the cross, but they don't believe in his resurrection. They think that that's fake. Our faith revolves around the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and he did indeed rise from the dead. We know that by the Spirit of God, which dwells inside of us, and the power of God's word, and just the fact that it just doesn't add up when you really do your research and think about it. That's for another video. But the fact that Christ died means that we have the opportunity to be justified. We are not dead in our sins, but we are able to be saved by this resurrection. So it says in Romans as well, Romans 4, the end of the chapter. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So notice there how he's not just talking about being delivered, which is being sent up to the cross. That was for our offenses, meaning for our sins. He paid for our sins on the cross, but then we're given justification because, you know, if Jesus isn't alive, how can he justify us? So he was raised up again for our justification. So if you're saved, then you're saved because Jesus rose from the dead. And never forget about that. Never forget about what happened. And this isn't something we should just talk about on this day. this is just a day that's set aside for the resurrection. I don't believe that it really took place on this day. Or maybe it did, actually. Yeah, it did, because I actually haven't researched the dates and everything. I don't really care about that anymore. When I was in the Hebrew Roots movement, I really focused a lot on the dates and the calendars and things like that, but that's not really profitable in the New Testament. We should always be celebrating the resurrection of Christ no matter what. That's, again, the foundation of our faith. And if we go out and we preach the gospel to people, that should be coming out of our mouth constantly. It shouldn't just be, oh, well, it's Easter, let's talk about the resurrection. You know, and that's the only time of the year. The resurrection, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection are all the important foundations of our faith. So I don't think I have really anything else to talk about in this video. Thank everybody for watching. Have a great Resurrection Sunday. I guess a lot of people have family over and things like that. Maybe not actually, because of the coronavirus thing. It's actually kind of, it feels really weird this year. I remember last year we were preparing for it. You know, we were looking forward to it. I knew that it was that Easter was coming up. This year, I kind of forgot about it until like a week ago. Somebody at my church mentioned, next week is Resurrection Sunday. I was like, oh, really? Forgot about that. I didn't really know what the date was. It's just because of this coronavirus thing. A lot of people aren't congregating together. I know my family, we're just going to have dinner like we always do. And I'm not going to invite anybody over, just me, my brother, and my mom, as usual. So, yeah. So that's it for this video. Goodbye. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Resurrection Sunday.